alongside a pawn. He is DJ Schweitzer.
That's me.
I am Jeremy Lance. Hey, haircut.
Hi. Biggest news of my life this week.
Got yourself a haircut.
Yeah. I mean,
sounds pretty cool.
It needed to happen.
Yeah. Fresh cut.
Since none of you see me on a regular basis, I've got a very soccery haircut now. I've got what people kind of refer to as the douchey soccer hipster haircut, where it's all comb part one direction, yeah. And then I have an actual part cut into my hair. The girl who cuts my hair is the girlfriend of one of the guys I've played with forever, played in college with, a really good friend.
Uh-huh.
She did say to me while cutting in, and she goes, "You do know you're the oldest person that I cut a part into their head." And I was like, I can't tell if that's an insult or not. And she didn't mean it as one. She said, "You can pull it off." But she goes, "You are definitely the oldest person, the oldest male that I actually cut this haircut into." So take that to mean what it is. But since you don't normally see me, I actually had super long, ridiculous curly afro going.
Yeah, you had some. I saw you last Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Your hair was quite long.
Yeah. Longest I had it since college. So, yeah. Had thought about trying to grow it out, but just...
What was the end game on growing it out?
Well, it was mostly sloth. Like, it had been like 3 months since I gotten a haircut. Okay. I've been able to get one. So I was like, I really needed to get one. But as I got longer there, said boyfriend that I was talking about a minute ago, he grew his out. He's now pulling it back. And he was like, "Oh, come on, man. Let's do it. Let's like live the glory days."
This is what I was wondering about. Like, was this where we were going with
it? It was slightly inspired. And I did kind of want to do it just because I'm a couple years away from being
40. How long has your hair actually ever been?
Longest I've ever had it was 9 inches on the very top of the head. So I could actually pull it all the way back.
Wow.
When I first started dating my wife, my hair was actually so long that when I played, I actually wore a headband to keep my hair out of my eyes and kind of had like this little roostery, fro-y thing going in the back.
This is the longest I've had my hair.
That's not true. We just saw you on television.
That's right. Okay.
From, 2002? Wasn't that when that was?
It was 2008.
Yeah, 2008. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't want to go that far back. You had hair closer to now.
Also had hair in 2002.
Yeah. But we just saw you were famous on the CNN series called The 2000s, which is a great show, by the way, if you're a near history nerd like us.
I was on for what, 0.5 seconds?
Yeah.
Was it even half a second?
It was so short that we struggled to actually hit pause while watching.
Maybe it was like four attempts and missed every time.
Yeah. But long story short, you made a small appearance shaking the hand of one Miss Palin.
Yeah.
Mrs. Palin, I suppose.
Governor.
Governor Palin. That's absolutely right. So we did see it. You had flowing orange locks at that point.
Yeah.
So.
I actually, when I saw that, I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot, like, that was the...
Do you think that was the longest your hair had ever been at that
point?
It was
the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
So I was, like, keeping it longer.
Mm-hmm. To try to cover up.
Yeah, try to compensate.
No, I totally get it. When I get my hair cut this short, it reveals how far back mine is starting to go.
Me too.
It also really...
It reveals it.
Yeah. There's a nice little bald spot starting to develop in the back as well, so...
People also get confused, like... I could grow my hair out.
Oh, yeah.
It just won't look good because there's just not enough of it. I didn't all of a sudden just get stricken with alopecia and just hairless.
Yeah. I mean, you have a full beard. So
right.
You can prove that you can grow hair. Like that is certain.
But people are like, "Oh, you got no hair." I'm like, well, no, I could, but it just looks stupid. Like, so I don't.
You'd have a little friar tuck going, wouldn't you? You got a little bit on the sides.
So, yeah, it'd be the horseshoe.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Got a couple little ones
Assume, just based on the fact that this is how my father had it for several years, I'd have the little island right here.
Ooh, good. Yeah.
Little island up front at the top of the forehead.
Let me tell you that I'm going to endorse you growing that back out. I've let it happen just to see it for a little bit.
Get the Dan Lance special?
Oh, would love it. Absolutely love it. That said, you look good as a bald, so I'm not necessarily suggesting you need to.
It's really the only choice I have.
Yeah, that's very true. Fits in well,
just,
I'm sure.
Just the one option.
That's why you and the Men in Blazers get on so well.
That's how we do things. Mm-hmm. Also how we do things, fantasy?
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah. Unless you want to just make this a hair podcast now.
We could.
Yeah. One episode in, I don't think it's necessarily the way to go, but.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll stick with soccer for the time
being. Yeah, let's go with soccer. Most of my notes are soccer related. That's like only 10% hair related.
Yeah. All right, stay tuned.
Okay.
Stay tuned. Let's talk about fantasy, though, because we've had a week in the books, obviously. Premier League fantasy is back.
Yeah.
I think I did a little bit of looking back. I think this is the 8th year that I've actually done a fantasy league. I know that predates the podcast, but
yeah, I want to say I did for maybe a year or so before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, good to have that.
Forgot
back.
My login.
Yeah,
I've probably spent a good 30 minutes trying to get that going again.
Mm-hmm. You clearly got it because
I got it.
You have a team.
I just found an old email.
Yeah, why don't you just use the Twitter login or something, right?
No, I think I did something stupid.
Did an email.
That's no, silly. I use like my Yahoo one from like that I haven't used since like
Yahoo email address.
High school.
Yeah, everyone's got one.
Burner still. Email.
Yeah, oh, look,
your Hotmail account.
If you don't have a burner email, there's something wrong with you. But again, we're not here to talk about burner emails. We're here to talk about the Fantasy League. 118 people have signed up for the league this year. If you haven't yet signed up, please do. We're going to leave it open. We're not going to discount you the ability to compete. But if you'd like to get involved, you can.
You'll still probably beat us.
Odds are. But you and I doing okay, I would say, probably in
Tread
the
water.
Opening stages.
Tread
yeah, we're not doing too bad. You are in 72nd place. So out of 118, you're at least in the top 2/3.
Okay. Right? Sure. That math seems right. Okay.
Yeah. I'm in 41st, so I'm on to page 1, which is all I really care about. Just want to keep myself in that realm. And then the leader for this week, it looks like it should be Storytellers, but it looks like it's Storvtellers.
Mm.
Tobias Theodore Scribe is the person who runs that team. Whether that's
all sounds fake.
Yeah. But either way, there's our leader. Don't believe that Tobias has ever been in the league to this point. And if he has been, he's not taking the top spot. I know the question you're going to ask.
Where's Jay Slack?
Where's Jay Slack? He is currently in 8th place.
Where's Didier Drogba?
Didn't look him up.
Did we ban him? After he won and we had to send a gift.
Yeah.
We had to send a prize to Papua New Guinea or whatever.
It wasn't Papua New Guinea. Where was it? It was one of the three little countries in
Regular
South America
Guinea?
that no one really cares
Not
about.
Not the new one?
Yeah, it might be Guinea. Either way.
Original Guinea?
Original Guinea. Very similar to like Coors Original. Still don't actually want it. But there is
the
your
Bangalore.
Leader. Yeah, absolutely.
So there's that.
Yeah. People have banquets anymore? Something they
speaking
do?
Of that, real quickly on emails.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah, obviously, running a soccer league, I get all these like emails coming in when people register. Still getting people registering with AOL email addresses.
Isn't that ridiculous?
And I'm like, okay, so you either are not going to read this
because
mm-hmm. you just used an email address that you
don't check.
Stopped checking. In the aughts.
I was going to say probably at minimum 9 years ago.
Say, George W. Bush was in the White House the last time you opened this email address. Mm-hmm. Or you are 65 years old, mm-hmm. in which case I need to double check to make sure our liability insurance covers your hip falling off in the middle of a match.
I have a couple friends that still rock their AOL, and one of whom actually uses it as his day to day.
Like this is my.
It's his main personal account.
Wow.
Now he says that he routes it through actually a Gmail account now.
Oh, okay.
Like I still have a Hotmail address that is still kind of active.
Like this,
but.
Does
but
AOL
all those
actually
go,
even have an app at this point? Or did they just figure no one with a smartphone is
to
actually going to use this?
Who they were purchased by rather recently, wasn't it? I can't think of off the top of my head, but it was one of the large conglomerate internet companies now at this point, now owns them and their catalog.
Qualcomm.
Sure. Yeah, still making chips, apparently, as well. But yeah.
Netscape.
You'll see. Look, if you're using Netscape Navigator to listen to our podcast, we're sorry for everything that's going on in your life. Glad you're still running it, I suppose.
That means you probably your computer's probably still connected to a printer that prints out with the perforated. Dotted little things on the mm-hmm. sides.
You have to rip them off.
Yeah, rip them off.
Yeah, can't turn in the paper until I've ripped off the the feeds.
Let's get into actual soccer.
We should, because we're doing everything we can to not talk about soccer right now.
The Premier League is back. It's back. I know. Last week you were like, "Oh man, I like." Which, you know, it was funny. I had a similar conversation mm-hmm. with our friend Kyle at Ryan House on Friday when I went to the match to watch United play. And he was like, you know, most summers, I feel like you just get so like deprived. So like when the league comes around, like you're just so ready for it. Like, it's like been such a time off. Mm-hmm. But he was like, even you know, especially for their case with like all the watches, you know, watch parties and stuff like that that they're always hosting. Mm-hmm. He's like, with the World Cup and everything, like we've and also you know, like FC Cincinnati is now such a big thing in the town, like. There's no break from soccer where it's like, oh, I'm so glad the Premier League is back. I've had nothing else to do for 3 months.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. No,
you've had plenty. But it's back anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to have it back.
Look, I you're absolutely right. That is what I was saying last week. And I think all the way up until Friday, it's kind of how I felt about it still. Mm-hmm. I vegged out on Saturday morning, get into a little bit why that happened and blah, blah, blah in a bit. But I watched 5 straight hours of Premier League soccer.
Attaboy.
And it was fantastic.
Glorious.
It was great in a way. And I don't know if you felt this way when you watched, but the World Cup did condition me in a way and I didn't really expect. The calls are tighter in the World Cup. Because you get a varying degree of cultures and ways that people referee the game and blah, blah, blah. The Premier League felt like freaking rugby for the first like weekend, you know, the first couple of days. It felt just like everyone was out there murdering themselves and you forget that.
Well, because in the reality, like the leagues, the leagues all have their own like feel and ethos and it's kind of like that's how it is. And the World Cup, you're right, it's drastically different. And
it's homogenized to a certain extent.
And everything is just under a microscope. So obviously there's a lot more calls and everybody's just looking for an angle because it's just this is the moment.
Sure.
Is the moment where the league is a league and you're going to have crazy days, you're going to have good days, and you're going to have days where you're just trash.
Yeah.
It just so felt good. It was just like, oh yeah. This is
what I've been missing.
This is how I like it.
Yeah, like I didn't even know I was missing it the way that I was, and then it happened, and it was just fantastic. So I'm glad to have it back. It was a great weekend. Actually, we were served up a fabulous weekend of opening Premier League soccer. Good storylines, lots of goals, which was good. Makes things a little bit easier to digest as well.
That helps.
It was just a great return. It's good to see the bars and stuff packed up again. With people turning out in the mornings in a way that you just don't necessarily get throughout the rest of the year. So it was good for most everyone that was involved this weekend.
And that brings us to City 2, Arsenal. No.
Yeah, donut.
0.
Yeah. Let's stress importantly here that it's actually the reverse of that, right?
Right. This was a home game for Arsenal.
2-0 win.
This was the dawn of a new era. At the Emirates.
It was weird not seeing Wenger on the touchline, wasn't it? Like just.
Do you think like where was he?
That's a question.
Did he watch?
There's no way he didn't watch. I refuse to believe, and I also refuse to believe that he didn't highly enjoy them losing that match to a certain extent.
I feel sure like that, he was laying just on the couch, sipping, I don't know, he's French, so something terrible, like a brandy or whatever.
Someone listening to this podcast is now really
mad. Brandy is amazing.
Yeah. It's fine. You believe whatever you
send
you
that
believe.
Email to contact@wrongsideofthepond.com.
Jeremy's
he's just lighting one cigarette off of the other, just back to his old smoking ways.
Oh, I can't imagine he wasn't burning them. Heaters left and right.
Occasionally putting holes on his couch.
Yeah. I'm sure Arsenal losing probably still bothers him a little bit. I can't see Arsenal being a sweatpants guy. I'd see him being.
I think maybe he just kind of was like, hey, man. I'm done with this. So, I'm done with this life.
I like to imagine that he got dressed up like it was any other normal Arsenal match.
So he was sitting on the couch.
In a suit.
Suit and tie. Full vest and everything. Oh, yeah. Pocket watch even for some reason.
Struggling with a zipper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I anticipate.
Sitting upright on a couch.
To be a fly in whatever room that
smoking
was.
Smoking and politely, you know, tapping it into an ashtray.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, sipping some cognac or whatever.
Yeah, cognac.
We'll upgrade. We'll upgrade.
Cognac is definitely what it was. He's too rich to just be doing brandy, I suppose.
Okay.
But that said, Unai Emery getting his Arsenal debut underway in the way that Arsenal is used to getting season debuts underway, and with a loss, Arsenal bringing, there's some fresh blood in that squad, a couple names and faces that I didn't really even recognize, which...
That's Kenny G, you recognize him?
Yeah, Kenny G.
From the Breathless cover album.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's always interesting these first couple, you know, weeks of the Premier League season when you have to kind of learn who the teams are again to a certain extent. You know, you recognize the colors and the badges. And
we actually have to learn from the get this time because of the transfer window. Like, oh yeah, these guys are hanging around for the most part.
Yeah, which is awesome until you think about it for a second. And I don't want to take this away from the discussion we're going to have about the transfer right. window here shortly. But, man... What a stupid move for the Premier League to adopt this year earlier than everyone else.
This was the year you chose.
Yeah. And this is all changing for the rest of Europe starting next season.
Right.
The Premier League.
When it's logical.
And to be fair, to a certain extent, I think the Premier League also kind of made that move happen. When they announced it happening, everyone else was like, okay, fine, we can get on board with this.
Right.
And it is the right way to approach it. We all bitch about, you know, the Premier League.
But then they all looked at a calendar and was like, well, it'd be really stupid to do it this year.
Yeah, I mean, of all the years.
That'd be a real disaster.
Of all the years. And it turned into a disaster. It's almost like the teams themselves forgot it was happening.
Because you have all these teams now that have guys that they probably still want to loan out, but they're like, does someone have the number for Schalke?
But look, I think loans, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think loans to other English teams can still happen.
I think that's more like...
Maybe lower league?
I feel like that's a football league rule.
Maybe.
And the Premier League is in its own...
That's on that entirely one. Possible.
Because I know for Wickham, they're still going like, hey, we can bring people in on the loan deal. But like, also, the loan thing at the lower leagues like kind of always is still around. Because you can do these like one-month loans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like any time in the season, pretty much.
It's kind of weird. But yeah, it's weird. You're absolutely right. We from the get-go, we now have the faces that we're going to see. And at bare minimum, maybe you see some people leave. But it is a very odd situation. And We're seeing all these new Arsenal players kind of come in, and but there's still so much of the old Wenger team there that you just kind of knew that this was the result that was going to happen, right? Like, there was no one that Arsenal brought in this summer that made me go,
that's the ticket.
That's going to put them over the top this year. And you can say that about a lot of teams, and again, we'll get to that a little bit later.
Can we talk about the Kenny G guy?
Yeah.
The young kid?
Mm-hmm. The center back? Yeah.
Oh, he was playing defensive mid.
Yeah, well,
in this one.
Saw him towards the back half.
May or may not have been his right position, which...
Seems very Arsenal.
Guess we're still doing that, eh?
Yes. No, new manager, still up to the old tricks. But yeah, there was really no point in this match, I feel like, where City looked in jeopardy of dropping the points. And Guardiola, you know, paid Arsenal some, you know, nice lip service in the post-match comments saying, you know, look, anytime you come to the Emirates, there's nothing guaranteed. And he's not wrong, but...
He was talking about parking.
Yeah.
It's no guarantee. No guarantee. Is there going to be a spot? Is there not going to be a spot?
Are we going to be able to get a bus in there?
We'll be close. Yeah.
Am I going to pee? Ride or not? They have their own stop. It should make it easy to get there anyway. But yeah, just there was no point that you could look at that team, the two team sheets that were submitted before the game, and literally the minute the team sheets came out, I was like, not that I really thought anything different was going to happen here.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, what was going to hop? What were you going to glean from that team sheet? Well, you're like, you know what? I changed my mind. Arsenal's totally got this one.
No. It's more along the lines of, look, City had a lot of players go late into the World Cup, and a lot of guys coming off on short rest.
Sure.
And part of me thought, potentially, there's a possibility.
Yeah, Belgium guys. That was it.
Yeah, but...
Johnstone.
Yeah, Johnstone. Well, vital. And actually, he did have kind of a vital play that
potentially... Sterling, too, yeah. I guess.
All that said, I thought maybe there's an opportunity for Arsenal to, you know, have some fresher legs that could potentially give them a little bit of an advantage. It did not play out this way. And if you really want to know, like, the main driving thing, and I tweeted about this when the game went down, this was Manchester City's bench.
Okay.
This is just absurd. Field players, of course. Kompany, Vincent Kompany. So,
is the backup keeper not impressive?
Nah, there's no.
okay.
Bravo, isn't it Bravo, I think?
Yeah, no, it's him. Yeah,
so he's not that anyone to, you know, he's not like, he's a better goalkeeper than I would be. But Vince and Company, multiple Premier League winner,
right?
You know,
I mean,
legend at the club, blah blah blah. Nicolas Otamendi had a bad World Cup, but on the whole,
had a great season.
Had a great season last year. Kevin De Bruyne, may have heard of him.
Yeah,
he's okay.
Yep.
Foden, who's the is it Josh Foden? He's the young up and coming English prospect that
Bert Foden.
Yeah. Why not? But Foden was really, really impressed to an extent where...
Old Beaumont Foden.
Any of these names will work. But he is a highly touted prospect and played so well during preseason that he kind of forced his way into the team this week. And then, oh yeah, Gabriel Jesus, the 20-year-old wonder kid forward.
Heard of him.
That may be okay as well. It's just, it's absurd that any team should have a bench like that. And we're not even talking about the starting 11 that was chock full of world stars. That those 11s came out and was like, well, it just doesn't even fucking matter at this point.
Yeah.
So the result we expected.
Yeah, you can have all the Kenny G lookalikes you want.
Yeah.
Ain't going to happen.
No, it's really not going to do anything for
you. So a bummer start for the Emery era at the Emirates. Sterling and Bernardo Silva getting the two goals in this one.
Yeah. Bernardo Silva's goal was just... beautiful. Yeah. Absolutely beautiful.
I mean, City, I guess you always want to not read a bunch into it, but when what you are reading is what you assumed you were going to be reading, like that's what we have here with City. Like,
yeah,
we assumed they were going to roll. And they did.
And they did. Yeah, I mean, if anything, Arsenal can take a little bit of solace in that it was worse than 2-0.
Yeah.
Because it could have easily been.
I mean, that Aguero one-on-one with Cech that, that got saved.
Yep. Cech almost had an incredible own goal.
Yeah, almost just fired it into his own net.
Yeah. By the way, that would have been crazy Arsenal. Just an unbelievably delicious, crazy Arsenal.
Other clubs in the top six, the top echelon of the Premier League, outside of Arsenal, obviously, because they were playing another top six side. All got wins.
Yeah, went well for just about everyone that you would have expected it to go well for. You want to start with your boys? Another debut for a manager?
We have a lot of those.
Yeah.
Seems to be a trend.
It is a trend. One that we've come to expect. It's almost like clockwork at this point.
A tradition unlike any other. A new manager at Chelsea. We get the 3-0 win at Huddersfield. So it's like... it's Huddersfield.
Yeah.
Like, they're probably going down.
Probably.
And Chelsea didn't look amazing in this match. In fact, the first half, they really essentially had two shots on goal.
Yeah.
One was Conte's goal. The other one was Jorginho's penalty.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't the brightest of starts, but look, a 3-0 win to start off Sarri's campaign.
How you like that crow hop that Jorginho put in that?
It was pretty nice.
In that penalty.
Oh, yeah.
He did that in the preseason. I was like, is this your thing?
Okay.
This is your special move?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, that was a great pip for you guys, too. Like, getting him in there, he was hotly chased by City, and he seems an enjoyable player. I'm sure you enjoyed watching him.
Yeah, I think he's going to, obviously, if Sarri is able to hang around for more than a couple seasons, more than one season, I guess is what I should say.
I was going to say, if he makes it through this season.
That's a whole thing with Chelsea. Like, we're not good at doing rebuilds, and we're clearly, we're going to need a season of Sarri figuring out how he's going to make this happen in the Premier League and getting his guys in. Like, I feel really good about what we could possibly be next year. But he has to make it to that.
Yeah.
He has to survive this year first.
Hey, look, if there's anyone that cannot survive austerity, Chelsea, it's...
it's an old man smoking in a track jacket?
Look, I'm glad you brought up the smoking, because...
Oh my goodness, the story?
This is ridiculous. And we didn't... I was none the wiser to this happening during the game. I don't know if you could see it happening.
No.
I didn't see it happening, so I don't remember whether it did or not. But reportedly, sorry, a man known for smoking on the sidelines, which in Italy is not banned yet.
Right.
Which is about the most Italian thing possible.
He is the most Italian thing possible.
Yeah. This man because it's banned in England, he reportedly chewed unlit cigarettes at the Huddersfield match.
Has this man, like, can we not get him some Nicorette gum? Like, you're chewing an unlit, so you're just gnawing, you're just sucking on just dried tobacco, low-grade dried tobacco.
So what people are saying is that he didn't actually, like, chew on it. He more just kind of, like, held it there.
I mean, I do that occasionally. Like, when I get a cigar,
yeah,
and, like, I know, like, I'm not going to be able to light this for, like, another hour or so. I want to, like, just kind of set it in my mouth.
Yeah.
And just kind of, like...
just kind of let it...
just hold it there.
Because there is a taste that's associated with that.
My grandfather... I've never seen my grandfather smoke a lit cigar. Mm-hmm. Yet I've also really never seen my grandfather without a cigar in his mouth.
So just like the old...
square that circle.
Like the old, like, chewed off end of a cigar that you think of. Like from a...
you know, you're talking about, like, a guy who fought in World War II. So, yeah, he's definitely old time.
Fair enough.
So sorry, I guess Chelsea is, like, actively trying to figure out how they can satisfy his need for smoking without, obviously, breaking the law.
The law. Yeah, it's probably not a bad idea. Because you'd think a club like Chelsea, they'd be like, yeah, just screw it. We'll pay the fine.
Yeah, we'll pay that fine.
But I think it's a bad PR move. No, it doesn't. To a certain extent. And look, I don't care what my manager's chewing over there, as long as he's doing the jobs that I wanted to get done.
Give them 3 points.
It's an oral fixation thing.
So they say, though, the report I read that was talking about this whole thing said that he has been known on, especially a match day, where obviously maybe he's got a little anxiety going, to smoke upwards of 80 cigarettes in one day.
Holy crap.
That's like four packs.
Holy crap. That is an insane amount of cigarettes.
Yeah.
I've had friends before that have been pack-a-day smokers and, like, have lived with them, and it's like...
and you think, like, that's like, wow, that's, like, oh my, that's a lot of cigarettes, man.
Oh my God, I'm worried about you getting cancer right now. But it's just kind of crazy to think 80 cigarettes. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've seen 80 cigarettes in one time. I think it's like a machine that's packaging cigarettes doesn't even see 80 cigarettes.
I think he has to own his own machine.
Maybe. Like with the little knobs.
That you, like, get the pole.
Oh, yeah. I would hope so. That'd be incredible.
Yeah. So that'll be an interesting storyline, a little play out over the season. I do hope he survives it, because I do like some of the things I saw. Two things I do love about this first match.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that, and I thought, and maybe it is, you know, it's still super early in the season. We don't know what the lineups are going to look like. And some of this may still be a little bit of, like, this is the guys that actually were around for training camp and stuff like that the whole time. So this is who's going to be in it. Seeing David Luiz back in the lineup.
Yeah.
Seeing Ross Barkley, not only just being starting, like, I mean, I have to look it up. This might be like one of his, like, few starts for Chelsea ever.
Yeah. Outside of, like, cup.
And played well.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's played well.
He's a good player.
He is a good player, but I don't know if he's, he's one of those guys that I think has been so beaten down by just the situations that he's had of kind of falling out of favor at Everton, having injury problems, coming to Chelsea, having kind of lingering injuries, never really fitting in Conte's setup. I'd love so much to see him actually matter in this squad.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Jorginho looked good. Kepa. Which, we'll, you know, when we get into transfer stuff, we'll talk about the fact that that's a thing.
He looks like he's 12.
Yeah, he's also only like 6'1".
Too, yeah.
Which is somewhat scary for a keeper.
Yeah, absolutely.
That he's only that tall.
Well, he kept a clean sheet in his first showing.
Sure did.
Went okay.
Yeah.
So the Courtois era is over, and the Kepa era has begun.
And luckily, knock on wood, Hazard, still part of the team.
Yeah. Hey, at least, look, I know we have until the end of August. But
there you go.
Could you guys really see letting him go now without a replacement?
I think at this point, they're just not going to do it.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no way the board is going to sign off on that move.
No, I don't think there's any chance of that at all. So, good opening win for Chelsea. Let's move on from them and move on to why not? We'll go over to my boys now. We've done one part of London.
You're rocking the kit. Other. You are not a, for a guy who owns a lot of kits, not a guy who wears a lot of kits.
I think you just don't see me at the right time. I live in them kind of when it's, especially when it's hot out.
Okay.
I love a jersey because they just breathe.
I hate a jersey when it's hot out.
Oh, really?
Because it like wicks the sweat into the jersey and then I just feel that like wetness, just like cold wetness hitting up against me and I just feel dirty and unclean.
Yeah.
I like to wear jerseys when it's cold out.
Yeah. I'm not saying that's wrong.
Like I got a brand new Chelsea kit.
Mm-hmm.
And by brand new, I mean
last season's
for $25 on the Nike store. Well,
that deal.
Yes. Friends, employee discount.
Yeah.
And I made it like half a day and then I was like, it's too hot out to be wearing this.
Now I will say this is, the third jersey I've worn in the last 4 days. So gives you an idea.
What are you just hanging about? We got,
as it turns out, yeah.
I got nothing going on or something?
Yeah, nothing.
Right.
Well, again, we'll get there.
Spurs 2.
Yeah.
Newcastle 1.
You're reading all the scores very American today.
I am, aren't I?
Yeah.
I think I just wrote it down this way.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, no, it was at
this one was at Newcastle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm not trying to take anything away. Spurs, they have a lot of road games coming up here. So
yeah, that's a thing. Like, I forgot to even factor that in when we were talking about, Spurs going to be the team that's going to have the big World Cup hangover.
Mm-hmm.
They're also going to be the team that's, and now apparently even more so,
mm-hmm.
going to be out of pocket.
Yeah.
Venue-wise mm-hmm. for, like, the first 2 months of the season now.
Yeah.
As it was announced by the club today that, the opening of the new stadium has been delayed.
Yeah.
As construction is still going on.
Mm-hmm. And look, you can't let people into your stadium too early, as evidenced by DC United a couple weeks back. Bad things can happen when a stadium isn't quite rounded out in the way that you'd like for it to be. And, you know, given the investment that Spurs have put into this place, you can't really fault them for that. And they're a team they've played on the road essentially for the last entire year. There's been talk that Wembley is going to come back into play mm-hmm. As they have this extended. They do have home dates that fall within the realm of
right.
The delay at this point. So
they will play at least a match or two probably at Wembley.
Yeah. And it's a place that they had some demons that they had to shake heading into last year. And they did that. So look, if there's a team that's prepared to do this more than any other, it is definitely Spurs. But it is slightly concerning. But regardless, they get the win at Newcastle to open up the season.
They also, you guys had one heck of an achievement of the closest goal that almost wasn't a goal.
Oh my ever. God! Yeah,
I heard about this. I was running a tournament at Crew Stadium
mm-hmm.
that didn't ever really get off the ground
yeah.
due to weather during this match, but. Working with two Spurs fans, I kept hearing about, oh yeah, you know, there was a goal that like wasn't a goal, but then was a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got back to my phone and saw the screenshot of goal line technology.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you maybe could fit like a credit card between the line and the ball.
People who say that technology doesn't have a space in the game.
There it is.
That's it right there. And I don't think there's really any reason at all why anyone – look, even if you get wronged in this situation, obviously Spurs benefited from it. But if you had a situation like that where you were fairly certain the ball was over the line, you would absolutely want that to be included. And now there's no doubt. That's what's amazing about all this is like we
absolutely.
Know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was like, what, a millimeter, 2 millimeters is what they're talking about, potentially over the line. Awesome, like literally awesome that we have the ability to technologically be able to do that. So all those things considered, Spurs, that goal ends up going to, it was Vertonghen who ended up getting that millimeter goal there. To open the scoring, Newcastle, to their credit, marched down and almost immediately respond. Actually kind of had Spurs on the ropes for a little bit. But ultimately, it was the Spurs who came away with the victory. You mentioned a few minutes ago, though, the idea of Tottenham potentially having this World Cup hangover. And while a majority of the team didn't appear to have that, Harry Kane absolutely looked like a man who is experiencing that to a certain extent. He looked off the pace for the night. Didn't look at the stats for it, but I would imagine it was probably one of his lower end games from a like a pass completion standpoint. He just didn't quite look like the player that we've all come to know. And I don't know, my wife and I were talking about it after watching the game, and she was like, I don't know why you're surprised by this. And I was like, well, why is that? And she goes, DJ, it's August. And she's actually right. Harry Kane doesn't get going until September.
Nope, no, he does not score in August.
Every single year. So, look, all things considered, a match away from home in an environment that's not always easy to win in is definitely a result that I will take. And I'm happy that Spurs are off to a winning start to the season, if nothing else.
The season as a whole got underway on Friday when Manchester United beat Leicester 2-1. Paul Pogba scoring from the penalty spot. Luke Shaw eventually getting the eventual winner in this one.
Man, the memes that were floating around in the Luke Shaw aftermath, just ridiculous. Mourinho has chided the hell out of that guy since his arrival at United. And
really, the two players that scored were the two players that he has the most
like contempt for.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, great for Luke Shaw, a guy who struggled with injury. Always got to love a defender getting a goal in as well. But that said, United off to the winning ways as well. Mourinho predictably doing Mourinho things already this early in the year, having a total go at the press, talking about how everyone's already cast them off for the season after they finished second last year. It seems inevitable that Mourinho is going to have a Mourinho breakdown this year.
Yeah, it's year three. It's supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. See, just, it's feeling that way. Interesting one in this one. The new number 10, Rashford, starts this match. Lukaku benched, eventually brought in. I don't know. Interesting lineup choices for this one. I know it's first match out the gate. There's people that are more ready than others. Lukaku obviously coming back from having to play all the way to a third place match.
Well, look, Rashford was in the same squad or the same match day squad as Lukaku there. The difference being is Lukaku played just about every minute of the World Cup for Belgium, whereas Rashford didn't quite get the same benefit or exposure that he did. But yeah, it was an interesting pick, a bunch of interesting picks for Mourinho in that respect.
So they do get the win. They looked okay, especially, that first half, outside of the penalty, they didn't really have a whole lot going.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. This was actually kind of one of the duds of the round, in my opinion. It was a match that you thought could have a little bit of flair to it, but Leicester look aside without Riyad Mahrez, they don't seem as intent to spring in the way that they have in years past. The name's evading me, but the guy they brought in to replace Mahrez, I think, is an interesting character, and I'm kind of intrigued to see how he pans out as they get into the season a little bit further. But I think this is going to be one of those years where there was flirtations with it last year, but Leicester, I think, are actually going to struggle a little bit this year. I think they're going to kind of come back down to earth in a way that maybe they wouldn't want to.
And then Liverpool getting a very dominant victory over West Ham. 4-0 in this one. Salah getting on the board. Kieta looking very, very good in this match. And I think all of the things everybody felt in the preseason about Liverpool appear to be 1,000% correct.
Yeah.
That this will be the club that is going to challenge City.
Yeah, I mean, look, the names that they've brought in aren't just names. They're quality system players that are going to fit in a way that they would expect them to. You mentioned Kieta. He looked fantastic. A difference maker in a way that Liverpool lacked in midfield last season. You're absolutely right. I think they're going to be that team, and they showed why they're going to be that team. I will absolutely say, watching Salah score in the 12th minute in this one, I went, man, my prediction of him scoring less than 15 goals this year is going to look kind of silly as far as bold predictions go at this point. But Liverpool putting the beating down on a West Ham side who also made a bunch of noise in the transfer window, bring in a high-quality coach in Manuel Pellegrini. Pellegrini, I think, about midway through that match, looked like a man that went, what have I done?
Why did I do this?
Why did I go here?
Why did I make this choice?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do bring some decent pieces in. Mm-hmm. They bring in Jack Wilshere. Bring in Sanchez, mm-hmm. The Colombian international.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I believe, his second go around with the Premier League.
Yep.
Yeah, I like the moves they made. We'll see it pan out. I mean, obviously, they're not going to have to deal with the likes of Liverpool every week. So,
no.
Better things to come, hopefully, for them. Let's do move to that. The transfer deadline came and went last Friday because of the new decision to push things up to mm-hmm. the start of the season. But transfer deadline day itself was pretty much just about one club.
Yeah.
Everton.
Yes.
Just
Making moves. Yeah. A lot of the things that we'd heard and reported on in the days leading up to the transfer deadline actually came to fruition.
Uh-huh.
You kind of wondered, would they be able to get all those done? And not only did they get all those done, but they got a little bit more done than that. Richarlison, who obviously is probably the marquee one, along with Mina, the Colombian international defender in the back.
Richarlison, what, had a brace in that first game?
He did, rewarding me with putting him in my fantasy side.
Came out hurt.
Yes. So maybe moving him on after a surprising week one contribution. By the way, we're not covering this match in its entirety. This was one of the most entertaining matches of the round.
Yeah, Wolves, Everton, mm-hmm. fantastic match.
Just twice coming back, Wolves. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know, obviously,
Everton, a man down because of a very dubious red card handed out to Jagielka.
Yeah, can't agree with that in the slightest. Actually, it was really odd that everyone was agreeing with it, even in the broadcast itself and in the halftime analysis that quickly followed after. The equalizer from Wolves on the free kick was fantastic. Another new Portuguese signing for Wolves. They've got all these new Portuguese players. Thanks, Jorge Mendes, for making all those things tick. But it was a really entertaining match, and I think Everton were the beneficiaries of that because they were so active in the transfer window. So, and not even all the guys that they brought in made their debuts. You know, we've talked about Mina. We've talked about, obviously, Richarlison. They got Kurt Zouma from Chelsea on loan. So what you have to like about what Everton did here was they didn't just go after attacking flair, which is what they've done in years past. But they also actually went out and got some steel, which is something they desperately needed. So
they can have a center back pairing of Mina and Zouma going in for the rest of the season.
There's some size there.
Yeah, that's pretty hot.
Not sure necessarily that there will always be the smartest decision-making paired together there. Yeah. But for a side that isn't necessarily known for defensive prowess and maybe needs to just outgun their opponents, they've got a lot of weapons, so maybe it's the right respect. But Everton were extremely active, and kind of shockingly so, given that they spent a bunch of money last year.
Chelsea obviously made some moves.
Mm-hmm.
Forced into a decision there with Courtois. Obviously, they wanted to move him now so they could actually make a replacement move.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of waiting till after the English window and doing it in the European window. So they send him to Madrid for £35 million mm-hmm. plus. Mateo Kovacic
mm-hmm.
on loan for a year with an option to buy.
Yeah, you'd presume that would be a buy unless he has a bomber of a year.
Right.
How do you think feel about Keba? You know, they're in Madrid. May as well just, you know, walk across town and pluck that one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We'll get that guy. I don't know. I'm excited about it.
What, was there someone else you had your eye on instead?
Not really. In fact, actually, the other people that Chelsea allegedly had their eye on scared me.
Mm-hmm.
Butland.
I could see it.
I could, no, sure, but, I mean, the guy had, like, just already lost a championship match this season.
Yeah. Hey, look, I'd rather take a guy who was playing Champions League last year as opposed to, you know, championship.
As opposed to giving up 3 goals to Leeds a week ago.
Stoke.
Besides that, I'm not sure. I mean, there was the rumors that they were going to throw all their money at Atletico Madrid and take their keeper from them, but that obviously wasn't going to happen.
No.
I don't know. This seems pretty good to me. Kepa's a young up-and-coming kid. I mean, they were able to go ahead and lock him in for a 7-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's very,
fairly unheard of.
To be honest, it feels a bit like the Courtois signing to begin with when they signed him from Atletico Madrid. He was a young prospect and loaned him back for a year, obviously, as well.
But we don't have the Petr Cech to hold down the fort till he's ready to come in.
Yeah. Well, here you are. You have him.
I mean, we have Willy Caballero, but that's...
It's Willy Caballero. Willy Caballero. Yeah. No, I'm here with you.
Well, we do have Bob Green also.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, Bob Green.
Bob, I let it through my legs, Green.
Yeah.
Clint Dempsey scored on me accidentally, almost Green. So a decent window for Chelsea, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we made those moves. We've also sent Batshuayi out on loan to Valencia. There's still potential outbound moves and loan moves coming.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as Chelsea's concerned, until January, it's going to be Morata and Olivier Giroud as our 2 striker options. Problematic.
Well, I don't know. I could see them going with Hazard as a false 9 potentially as well.
I don't know. I've never been a fan of that.
I'm not suggesting I'm a fan of it.
Mourinho did that. Every time he did that, that was a park the bus move of where we're playing United or we're playing City and we're just going to just sit super deep and just hope for the counter. I'd prefer not to live that life any longer.
I don't think you're going to, given the way that Sarri's run his team.
No, it doesn't seem like something he wants to do.
And look, if there's a guy who's going to maybe get something out of that, look, Mourinho, outside of when he had Drogba at his disposal, even to an extent with Lukaku, but less so, he's never been a guy that you're like, he's going to get the most out of a striker, right? It's just not his style.
No.
I think Sarri is a guy who's produced results with players who weren't necessarily expected to produce those results. You know, you look back to when Gonzalo Higuain was at Napoli. You know, they took him from Real Madrid, where things hadn't necessarily gone as well as they would have hoped for it to. And he turned Higuain into literally the most lethal striker in Italy. So I have promise and hope for your team. I think there's room to work with the 2 strikers you have at your disposal.
He can only do so much. Morata actually does have to learn how to finish on his own.
One of these days.
How about Manchester United? They did not make the move.
No.
Looking for a center back on deadline day.
Mm-hmm.
Jerome Boateng literally
called
Mourinho and said,
"No,
nah, I'm good."
That's
hard pass.
How awesome is that, by the way?
I just want you. I just want to call you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jose, how you doing?
I just called to say
I don't want to play for you.
The idea. Could you imagine that phone call? Imagine seeing Mourinho. Because
you know, Jose's going like, "Hey, you got Boateng on." I'm like, "Well, here it is. Let's lock this bad boy up."
Because you know, Jose doesn't answer his own cell phone, right?
Someone's like, "Hey, it's Jerome Boateng is on."
Line one
of one.
Yeah. And
he's sitting there, he's got to be thinking like, okay, here it is. He just want to like just confirm with me that,
hey, boss,
I have a spot for him and that he's going to be in my plans for the 18, you know, for the starting 11. Hey, this is Jose. Oh, what? Yeah. Hi, Jose. It's Strombo and Tang. You might remember me from the 2014 World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I do not want to play for you.
No.
At all.
That's awesome.
I'm going to stay at Bayern Munich, where I probably won't start a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. But I'd rather just be here.
Yeah, I'd rather give that a go than whatever it is that you're trying to do.
I mean, it's amazing. We talked earlier about, like, wish you could have been the fly on the wall when Wenger had to watch the first Arsenal game. I would have paid money.
The look on Jose's face when Jerome just dropped it on him, like, hey, like, I am not coming to play for you guys.
No, I can get on board.
This will not be happening.
It's a visual that I'm enjoying.
It's going to be a no.
Yeah. Overall, though, United not having the window that they would have preferred, it's a bit
they
of a...
They got Fred. What are you talking about? Fred?
Well, it's not a bad
sign. I had to look up which Fred it was.
There are a few.
Still not sure.
Mm-hmm.
He's
Brazilian. That's
okay.
That's all you need to know.
That's where the confusion came.
Mm-hmm.
So are all the other ones.
Yeah, that's right. Damn it. I was hoping you could use that as a bit of a filter really point. It's not happening.
What's the one with the mustache? Mm-hmm. Ah, this guy's got facial hair as well.
Damn it.
Is it the same?
Nah, we'll figure it out. But yeah, it's a bit of a struggle. Mourinho also complained about the lack of available signings, beat the punches. I do revel in watching him struggle with things that he used to not struggle with.
Now, this is, though, somewhat classic Jose, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jose's classic move, even when he knows for a fact that he has the best team in the league, which is not the case this time, he's going to undersell himself. He's going to undersell his team. This is his move.
Mm-hmm.
He undersells.
Oh, yeah.
Undersell, overdeliver. It's the best move ever.
It's hard to do.
Adopt it.
Literally running the wealthiest club in the world.
It rings a little hollow.
it's an interesting approach.
More transfer news. Let's go to Spurs. Who they got? I had a hard time looking this one up. What did you find?
Damn it.
What happened here? Pochettino actually didn't really want to do anything?
I don't know.
Or did they actually chase a bunch of guys and lose?
He said as much. He said that they've struggled to hit their top targets.
He did say that, yeah.
Look, Spurs have now reached a point where they're not a team that's looking for the second rung type of player. They're looking for deals here and there, obviously, but they're a team that now competes for top level signings. And when you're a team that's aiming for those, you're ultimately going to fall short on some of them. And so, unfortunately, this season, Spurs fell short on all of them. Tottenham are the first Premier League club in the history of the summer transfer window to not make a signing.
Congrats or something?
I don't know. I'm trying to convince myself this was an okay thing, and I'm going to make some statements here. They're going to make it sound like someone who just had a really crap transfer window.
Oh, okay.
There were a lot of rumored exits for Spurs, and especially late in the window.
Toby
Alderweireld being the one that you would single out as the biggest of them. Look, I'm delighted to have Toby around. You know, deadline day moves to Manchester United fell through. There have been talk about him potentially leaving the country as well. Neither one of those came to fruition. Having a center back of Toby Alderweireld's quality still on our roster is huge. He is just a tremendous athlete, but he's also on the tail end. He's in his early 30s now. Center backs, especially bigger ones, tend to fade rather quickly. But look, with the center back pairings that we have right now, I do think Davinson Sanchez and Vertonghen should be the starters. But it's nice to have someone of his quality that stuck around. So while it's not an arrival, keeping him is big. The question is how committed will he be? He spent the last half of last season on the bench because he was trying to force a move.
Didn't Pochettino did the classic move also of saying someone else was returning from being hurt, so that's basically a signing?
Yes, he did, yeah. In that case, he was talking about Harry Winks.
Oh, yeah. It's basically a signing. It's almost like a new guy.
You know who said that all the time? Arsene Wenger.
Yeah.
And that, my friends, is very concerning to me. That's where you start going, oh crap. You mentioned earlier Jack Grealish was someone that they were trying to make happen. That obviously didn't happen. Kudos to Villa for hanging on to him. He'll be very crucial in their
push. Did you see where some Villa blogger was like, or a Tottenham blogger was like, I got it on good authority that this move's happening. And Grealish's brother tweeted at the guy like, yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it's not. And the guy was like, well, what do you know? And he was like, well, I'm his brother.
So I've heard some things.
So I think I understand that you feel good about your sources,
mm-hmm.
but feel pretty good about mine.
Yeah.
And the guy was, and then someone tweeted like, you should listen to him. It's his brother. And the Spurs blogger was like, allegedly.
Allegedly. Spurs ITK, everyone's got their ITK groups, right? That kind of persist in their fan base.
Sure.
Spurs ITKs are genuinely horrible. Like, they very rarely get it right. And ultimately, if you're putting your faith in anything ITK related, then you're up a creek. But in general, Spurs ones have just been so far off the mark in the past that the minute they started saying that the Grealish deal was going to come to fruition, I was like, no, it's definitely not happening at this point.
Kiss of death.
Yeah, but you know, Winks coming back, I think, is big. We missed him in the second half of the season as a good defensive sub. We also held on to Moussa Dembele. I would not be shocked if we saw him actually leave before the end of the European window close.
Okay.
Bare minimum alone, but there's been a lot of talk about him going. I, for one, do not want that to happen. I like the steel and versatility that he offers. He's just a different player to Winks and from most of the other guys that we have that play in that holding mid role. So I'm trying to find some silver linings in all this, and I think it's justification, if anything else.
Okay.
I think Spurs had areas they needed to strengthen and they didn't. And given how tired the team is potentially and the players that they had that had long summers, I'm really hoping this one doesn't bite us in the ass. And I also fully expect that they'll probably be a little active in January. So
sweet.
Before we move on to a little bit of domestic action, though, we do need to get a couple of the responses that you guys shared out with us. We put a question out to see how you thought your team did during the transfer window. Mm. Got some great responses. First one came in from our good friend Pat Brennan. Now, congrats to Pat, by the way. Now the full-time beat writer for FC Cincinnati. Shows you really how far the city's come. To actually have someone who's devoted entirely to covering a soccer team.
Says a lot, yeah.
It's a really cool achievement. Extremely happy for Pat, a good friend and a great supporter of everything that we've done here and multiple time guests on the show as well. But he offered up the first one, Callum McManaman's back at Wigan. I don't know if that's something you should get overly excited about.
Pat Brennan, former Wigan intern.
Yes, that's correct. So he has his team, and it sucks for anyone who's stuck supporting a team in the championship, obviously. We, once upon a time, got to see Callum McManaman.
Back in it.
Yeah. But we've seen Callum McManaman play in person for Wigan.
We did.
Yeah, once upon a time. Your brother, Joshua Lance, he offered up. If there were a trophy for transfer season, Everton would be champs. I don't know that they will ever grant a transfer season trophy, and I hope they don't. But that said,
wait for Arsenal fans to win that trophy and they'll make it.
Yeah, and I think you may be forgetting about the other team in Liverpool that also had a decent summer window. But Josh, thanks for contributing that as always.
I mean, Everton had a great window.
They did.
And as in text messages with my brother, as he referred to it, nice to have Barcelona as your feeder club.
Well, every once in a while, you can get some benefit out of that. Be careful, Josh, what you lance for. That door can swing both ways.
Yep.
Corey Curry offered up Crystal Palace, filled in depth and signed quality players despite only spending $10 million, second least in the Premier League, of course, to my Spurs. One of the players they've signed has literally been relegated in each of his last three campaigns. So think
word.
Think a little bit about that before you go too much further. Josh Babcock also gave a nod to Everton bringing in Richarlison and becoming Barcelona North, as you just made reference to. But inevitably, as Josh offers here, they will still be Everton. I think that's where everyone's kind of reading that one too.
Word.
Gage Makoto, serial contributor, he offers up Newcastle loan Rondon. Yeah. Sorry, I'm getting my emphasis on the wrong syllable here. They loaned him from West Brom, so that's how the window has gone for them. They also got Kennedy on loan again for a season. So
you guys can keep him.
I like Kennedy, personally.
Pretty sure the offer's on the table to keep him at any point.
But that said, thanks everyone for your contributions. Glad to see them as always. Let's now move over to this side of the pond.
Let's go Seaside real quick. MLS, middle of the season, so wanted to just hit on a couple things there. as the second half of the season is underway now. Mm-hmm. Atlanta, still the class of the East, hosted the All-Star game. Did a very good job with it.
Yeah, All-Star game, record attendance, as you would expect, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. By the way, you talk about Atlanta as class of the East. It has narrowed. They kind of got out to a bit of a stretch there for a minute.
Sure.
But now they're only a 1-point lead over top of Red Bull New York, who also have a game in hand.
Well, New York, Red Bulls are finally kind of catching some wind.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah, they had a slow start.
Yep.
But Bradley Wright Phillips has found his feet again, notched his 100th goal, and I think he's now up to 101, if I'm not incorrect, as well. So back to being the club that you'd expect them to be, and right nipping at their heels. New York City FC is also on 47 points, too, so the East is pretty tight. That top trio there do seem to be the class. But we are seeing our good friends in Columbus, the Crew, sticking around, bringing back the line of Mesopotamia.
I was pretty excited about it. I was there for the match.
Yeah.
So. You enjoy it? Well, it worked out well for me that I had to be there for work, and my favorite player makes his return.
Yeah. And look, we're big Miriam fans here.
Yeah.
Obviously didn't work out for him down in Orlando.
Got a chance to go say hi to his family. They were, their tailgate, cause they drove down from Michigan, was right next to our tailgate.
But yeah, it's a tight race in the East. How are things looking out West?
Well, LAFC was the top dog until they've floundered lately. Have not won a match since the 7th of July. So wait, think back when you were like just still like getting out of like whatever it was you did that Wednesday for 4th of July that ruined your whole work week. That's the last time they won.
Wow. Yeah, for a team that got off to a hot start, they really have hit the floor. Now FC Dallas, who we just saw lose to the Seattle Sounders, they are still topping the table, though, on 42 points, Sporting Kansas City on 39, and Portland behind them on 37. And then you see the two LA teams back on 36 points apiece. Good to see LA Galaxy actually flying a little bit higher as well.
Zlatan effect-ish?
Ish. He's not setting the world
on fire.
I mean,
he's scoring a lot of goals, but there's also matches where he's just not
a passenger.
Not exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, passenger is exactly right. Anything else domestic side that you wanted to hit on?
Yeah, we have to hit on the arrival of a big name player in the league that has been rumored for a long time. We've not actually even talked about this yet, which is kind of incredible.
Yeah.
Wayne Rooney. Wayne Rooney.
He's there.
In at DC United, getting a little raccoon-y look early on.
Yeah.
Kind of becoming the mascot, the unofficial mascot.
My favorite thing so far since he's been in the States playing at MLS is he went to the Nationals game in DC on 4th of July.
Yeah.
And wore a hat that had a 4 on it.
Hmm.
Like, do you think like he was like, it's 4th of July.
I'm gonna get a 4 hat.
Get my 4 hat out.
Maybe.
Wear that.
Who knows what it is?
It's probably some stupid brand that somebody of his has.
Yeah, I mean, I think Rio Ferdinand has that 5 brand. I don't know if it's still a thing or not. But
this is someone else's.
Who's wearing 4?
I don't know.
Four, not
exactly a popular number.
No, but Wayne having an impact this past weekend, obviously a bonkers end to the Orlando DC game.
It was so cool because it's like, this is everything that people will say is what these kind of DPs do not do, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking about a player in his 30s who played for played for one of the biggest clubs in the world.
He's literally won everything there is to win in the European ranks, at least.
Right. Runs out of the box, chases down the ball and an attacking player at midfield, wins the ball back, turns around.
The last defender, too, at that
right.
as well.
Because also his keeper was went up for that corner.
Went up for the corner, yeah. This is the last minute of the match
right.
as well.
And then he plays the ball back up to his box, and it's headed in for the winner.
Just a spectacular – it was Wayne Rooney of old. If you've watched enough Premier League to have watched Rooney when he was in his prime, he was – just as liable to be scoring the game-winning goal as he was to be tracking down a man on a fast break and making a ridiculous tackle. And it was just so trademark Rooney, the type of thing you want to see out of a DP that you're paying gargantuan dollars to.
So you'd love that effort. I do love. So this all happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then they score the goal and his team's celebrating. And then they cut back to Rooney, and he's like doubled over, sucking wind, mm-hmm. probably trying to not vomit everywhere.
Yeah,
from making that run.
Yeah, they don't have the humidity in the UK that we have over this direction.
Yeah.
Kudos to Wayne. That is a huge arrival for the league. For people who say that it's the wrong type of signing, you can argue ad nauseum about that and probably not find your way to an answer. But glad to have him here, if nothing else.
Let's go winners and wankers. Let's close winners out the show.
And wankers. I'm going to start with my wanker this week.
Okay.
I'm going to stay with the team that we are talking about, at least in passing, because they were involved mm-hmm. in that game. I'm giving my wanker this week to Orlando City supporters, who have just been beyond reproach on social media of late. They're a group kind of known to ruffle feathers.
They've had some run-ins.
Maybe go a little harder than they need to. Maybe a little too ultra in their own
They've eyes. Been accused of some things, too, in the past. I mean, certain segments of their supporters group has been accused of some not-so-great things.
Yeah. They've kind of been known for chewing up their own players in a way that you really wouldn't expect the supporters to do.
Justin Merrim.
Yeah, exactly. literally a large portion of the reason that he's back here now is because of that. That said, they kind of have lost their minds to a certain extent. They are fully convinced that MLS is conspiring against them.
To what result? What's the end game if they want to do that? Why would MLS choose to conspire against one of their newest clubs?
It's a great question that I'm really struggling to answer.
Hey, let's bury one of the new guys.
I literally don't know. And that's, to me, where I think they've lost a little bit touch in reality. But the fact that they're making threats to league executives about supposed hookers they're bringing into their rooms at league meetings.
We know how you do things. So when you bring those hookers to those meetings,
we're going to rat you
out. In Orlando, we're going to rat you out. By the way, are you? Just a thing we're doing now?
I don't know. I mean, it's just one, I'm not aware of any rampant rumors of that happening at league meetings. It's not to say that it can't. I don't know that it does. I don't know that it doesn't.
Pro sports is probably a hooker involved at some level.
A couple, maybe, here and there. But it's just ridiculous that that's the level that they're getting to now. They're attacking their own team. They're attacking their own players. And now they're attacking the league that they play in. Not that the leagues are exempt from attacks. But at the same time, it's just, come on, guys. Just get over yourselves for a minute and maybe accept the fact that your team's just not all that good at the moment.
I'm going to give my wanker. Mm-hmm. My wanker goes to Petrček.
Yeah?
For getting just a little too touchy about a simple Twitter joke from Bayer Leverkusen.
Oh, yeah?
Who, you mentioned it, Petrček almost scored an own goal in the match. And someone was tweeting at the account about that. And Bayer Leverkusen jumped in and said, hey, we know a guy that might be good. Obviously, referring to the new keeper at Arsenal, mm-hmm. who came from Bayer Leverkusen. Petrček didn't take this too well.
No.
And had a tweet at him. I say this as, hey, Petrček is a little touchy on Twitter because Petrček once came after me.
Yeah.
For a completely innocuous comment.
Yeah.
About a stat that he had.
Yeah. You literally weren't even being critical.
No. No, not at all.
He read it that way, though.
He definitely did. He ran me down on Twitter.
Oh, it's incredible. Still one of my all-time favorite things that's happened over the course of our friendship. It's great to see him, at least you and Bayer Leverkusen at the same level.
I when I saw him do that and people were like, oh, Petrček took offense. I'm like, yeah, no, he's pretty touchy on the Twitters.
Mm-hmm.
I would know.
Yeah. It's awesome.
I don't have a winner this week. I yield the floor to you.
This one's a little personal. Many of you will probably already know this. Some of you might not. This week was my last week with FC Cincinnati.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm no longer an employee of the club. It's obviously an emotional subject for me. This last 72 hours has been quite the roller coaster. But the winner that I'm giving out in this is definitely not to the club in that respect. I have a lot of respect for the club and the things they've achieved, and certainly want the best for them. Nothing about any of this will change my opinion about that. But that said, I need to give special due to the supporters groups here in Cincinnati who really, in my opinion, went above and beyond their need for a guy who really just ran social media and did design and worked with the supporters. They really gave me a class reception at my first FC Cincinnati game as a fan. Less than 48 hours after I was let go, I went and attended a match for the team that I previously worked for, and really wanted to just kind of experience it. And they went well out of their way to make me not only feel welcome, but also express their displeasure with my release from the club. So, between chants in the march, chants in the stadium that were aimed towards me, it was a really touching evening for me in what was ultimately kind of difficult and something that I wasn't entirely sure I even wanted to do. I really feel like they stuck out their necks for me to a certain extent. And to anyone who's supported me and this podcast along the way over the last 3 years, know that it was an incredible gesture. I'm truly humbled by everything that that you guys have done for me, not just this past weekend, but over the last few years to help me further a career that I've long chased. So I won't spend a ton of time talking about this in general, because I haven't cried on this podcast yet, and I'm not going to start tonight. But thank you to everyone who's made this a really special couple hours.
I was disappointed that the chant didn't go, "Oh, DJ Swart." Yeah. I thought that would have been the one they would go with.
Yeah, it would have been fine regardless. I'm not going to nitpick on any of that. The gesture itself was really cool. So that said, I'm not going anywhere. This podcast is still sticking around. You may actually see some words from me show up back on this website again.
Get a little extra time to actually do that finally.
I got to find a job. So then,
you probably should do that.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless someone wants to sponsor this thing for real and make this into a real thing, I think we'd both be all right with that.
Yes.
If you're aware of any jobs in the marketing/social media world in Cincinnati, I'm certainly willing to listen. That said, there are some things that are cooking that we may see come to fruition that are pretty cool too. So, thank you to everyone. It's been it was an incredible ride. I got to achieve some really cool things that I would have never done had I not been given that opportunity. And for those of you who reached out, and those of you even who didn't, thank you for everything. It's been a really cool experience, and you're very deserving the winner award, at least from my angle this week.
So the real question, though, is now that you're gone, who wears the Sprinkles costume?
I don't know that I
can. Did I let that out of the bag? Oh, I'm sorry.
Nah, it's not me. If there's nothing else, it's certainly not me. I do actually know the name, but I'm gonna leave it at. Someone actually released it on social media a couple weeks ago too. So if you want to dig hard enough, you can find the answer to it. So that said, that brings us to the end of episode 2 of season 6. As always, if you want to get in touch, you know how to do it. Jeremy is at Jeremy
Smoke Lance. Signals.
Smoke signals from unlit cigarettes, perhaps.
Yes. That's good.
Yeah. You can get Jeremy at Jeremy Lance on Twitter. You can find me at Wrong Side of Pond. You can also get a hold of us, contact@wrongsideofthepond.com. There's a form on the website too if you don't feel like remembering the email.
Like a Google?
There are ways.
Sweet. All right. Cool. Yeah. See you, folks.
Later.